You may be seated in God's presence this morning. Apostle Arume, we thank you for the ministration. There was something that some of us might have missed at the beginning of his message that he said. He said it's not his first physical presence, and he's always at the quiet corner. And that shows you the character of the man. Hallelujah. We're going to go very quickly into the second session of this morning's teaching session, and our minister is already in the house. It gives me great pleasure this morning on behalf of our senior pastor to invite to the pulpit this morning Pastor Dilly Oshumakinde, the senior pastor of the Baptizing Church. Let's rise up on our feet as we bring him to the stage this morning. Welcome, sir.
Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Shall we lift up our hands this morning? Let's glorify Jesus. Let's give him praise. He's the head of the church. He's the savior of the body. All things are made by him and for him, visible and invisible. Whether there are thrones, dominions, principalities and powers, is before all things. In him all things consist. It does please the Father that all fullness should dwell in him, and of his fullness we have received grace for grace. For the law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus. Let's thank him this morning. I want to say, blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Let's thank him for choosing us before the foundation of the world to be holy and without blame in his sight. Let's thank him for sealing us with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. Oh, we give you praise. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of your kingdom is the right scepter. For you have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, the Lord your God has anointed you with an oil of gladness above your fellows. We just want to thank you this morning. Thank you for the last session. Thank you for your power and your spirit. Thank you for beautiful ministration. Lord, as we teach this morning, we declare everyone is blessed. Everyone is lifted. Everyone is edified. Everyone is strengthened. And everyone is encouraged through the teaching of the word and by the power of the Spirit. Thank you for the release of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, spreading through the many and causing thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God, to the praise and glory of your name. Thank you, Father, because of what you are said to do in this session. Oh, we give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Come on, give the Lord a shout as you take your seat this morning. Hallelujah. Wow. It's good to be back. To Wabek. Hallelujah. And I want to thank the Lord for this opportunity, and of course to appreciate Pastor Kwaju for extending the invitation so that we could do this morning. And I also want to specially celebrate Pastor Tony. Good to see you. And God bless. And of course, my brother and friend, Apostle Arume Osai. that was a very powerful one. And of course, all my brothers and friends, Pastor Taiwo, thank you very much. It's good to see everyone. Hallelujah. Let's get into the Word of God this morning. I just whispered to Pastor Sunday Ogidigbo. I said, Apostle Arume is almost preaching everything. I mean, I was like, this is a setup. Why will I have to come after him? My session was supposed to be afternoon, but somehow it was moved to this morning session. I think I would have been more comfortable with the afternoon session than to come after this heavy dose. But you know, that's the beautiful thing about the things of God. It's progressive. And I was going to learn a great deal from Abraham this morning. So if you care for a title, I want to title this Abrahamization of things. So how to Abrahamize? because it's all about Abraham. I think Apostle laid that foundation, and I want to build on that. Let's begin to read from Galatians chapter number 3, and we come to Romans chapter number 4. Let's start from Galatians. Oh, we need to run because we have so much. But I mean, it's fine. Even if we cannot finish, we can always come back in the next session to pick up where. Okay, now let's begin to read from verse number 5. Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and work miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? So I want us to take note there that there's such a thing in the word of God that is called the hearing of faith. And that hearing of faith comes as a result of the supply of the Spirit. Did you see that? So Paul was trying to make people to understand, just like what happened here a few minutes ago, that whenever you see miracles being worked, there are two factors responsible for the workings of miracle. And the first factor is the supply of the Spirit. That there must be a supply from the Holy Spirit. But see, the supply of the Spirit is not just going to get the job done. That there's another major factor that is called the hearing of faith. And just 5 minutes ago, both were demonstrated here. That there can be a supply of the Spirit, but if there's no hearing of faith, the job is not yet done. So he began to say that is how, whenever you see miracles being worked, those are the two factors that are operational, you know, in that sphere. But he went further to say, he said in verse number 6, surprisingly, he now said that is exactly the case, just as Abraham believed God. That means when you look at the story of Abraham, you are seeing a robust advent of the supply of the Spirit and at the same time the hearing of faith. And if God is going to show you mercy, these are the two critical factors God must integrate into your work with Him. Look at your neighbor this morning, say there's a supply of the Spirit in this place. And I don't think that is the issue. 100% of the time, there is always the supply of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is always supplying. But the other factor, which is the hearing of faith, and that is going to take us into building on Romans 10:17. You know, Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But the supply of the Spirit produces the hearing of faith. So there is hearing by the word, but there is also the hearing of faith. And he now began to tell us that, look, that is a summary of the story of Abraham. And he said, that is exactly what happened, just as Abraham believed God. And it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now look at the next verse. Therefore know, this is important, that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. Only those. That means if you want to see, just like Apostle said, why is the faith of Abraham rated so high? In Genesis, it's Abraham. You get into the book of Psalms, Abraham, an example of like acceptable work of faith. You get into the book of the prophet in Isaiah 51. God said, are you looking for righteousness? Maybe they should give that one to us on the screen. Let's quickly look at Isaiah 51 because this is very, very important. Listen to me, you who follow after righteousness. If you really want to hear God speak, you get into the book of the prophets. Because this is God talking. If you want to hear how God speaks, because, you know, we can speculate about how God speaks to people. But if you get into the book of the prophet, you see God talking. Look at this now. God said, are you looking for righteousness? And he said, look to the rock from which you were hewn. And to the whole of the people from which you were dug. And he went further to say, look to Abraham, your father. This was in Isaiah. And God said, look, what I want to do with you, somebody fathered it. And a father is a trailblazer. And a father is someone that opens what is called vistas in the spirit. God said, you are looking for righteousness? Look at it again. Please give other scripture. Let's stay with it. You are seeking the Lord. There is already a template. And why is this guy so important? So important that before Abraham, God never called himself by the name of anybody. He never called himself the God of Adam. He never called himself the God of Noah. Abraham was not the first man to walk by faith. If you read Hebrews 11, it started with Abel. But God never called himself the God of Abel. He never called himself the God of Noah. By faith, Noah built an ark. And the Bible says he responded to God and became an heir of the righteousness that is according to faith. So Abraham was not the first person to walk by faith. How come God did not become the God of Abel, God of Adam, God of Noah, even God of Enoch? Why God of Abraham? When the faith line opened, God became the God of one man. That means it's only on the faith lane God can be your personal God. Outside of this faith lane, God is a general God. And unfortunately, and that's what apostles are talking about, a lot of people still have this general notion of God, where God is just, but before God can come behind a project and say, I'm the God of Abraham. And I'm go ahead to become the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And he said, eternally, this is how I'm going to be known. You can't change this template. You can't change this framework. You know, in research, there's something we call methodology. It doesn't matter what you are researching. I mean, to get a PhD in the university. If your methodology is wrong, you don't have any research. So a wise examiner is going to be focused on your methodology. So for those 3 years that you are researching to get a PhD, the guy is just interested in the fact that how did you put all this together? And if you cannot explain it, you have to repeat it. So God is saying, look, there is a methodology to winning in life. There's a methodology, there's a framework, and that framework is rooted in Abraham. So this is Isaiah. So God became the God of Abraham, and it's the same way it's going to become your God. Because we just read now that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. Only those. So this is not for everybody. Hallelujah. You get into the Gospels, Abraham. Ah. You get into the Epistles, Abraham. Why Abraham? So look at Christ, for example. Oh, me. I'm already getting excited in my spirit. Thank you very much. And that is always the case when the word is coming alive. There are two instances where the Lord himself taught on Abraham extensively. That if those things did not come from the Lord, possibly we would doubt the veracity of those claims. The first was the centurion. After the centurion, I mean, you could imagine the audacity of faith. The Lord said, I'm going to come to your house. I mean, many of us will be doing praise worship and be rejoicing. And somebody said, don't come. Ah. I want to come to your house. You know the meaning of that? Even Peter could not say, don't come. When the mother-in-law was sick, the Lord had to visit physically. But here was the Lord giving somebody an opportunity on a platter of gold to be visited. Something people were looking for. And the guy said, you don't have to come. Speak the word only and my servant will be healed. But you see, thank God that the Lord now went ahead to open to us the back end of that conversation. The Lord said, you know what happened here? Many will sit. Many will come from the east, from the west, and from the south. And they will sit with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom. So the Lord is saying, when you see this kind of faith, because he himself marveled, he said, I've not found so great a faith, not in Israel. So what is responsible for this great faith? The Lord made us understand, the guy sat with Abraham. That when people sit with Abraham, this is what they come up with. Something in them is Abrahamized. So when the centurion was speaking, he was speaking from this seat. Only the Lord could have opened this back end to us to show us what transpired here. And you know, another very important story that shows, just like Apostle was saying, the rating of Abraham in the scheme of things was the story of Lazarus and the rich man. So, in life, it's either you play the centurion or you play the rich man. What do I mean by that? It's better to sit with Abraham now, or you still have to have a conversation with him in afterlife. Even in the afterlife, that region is called Abraham's bosom. Only the Lord could have opened up these possibilities for us, because there's no way any man can assess this by revelation. So it has to come from heaven. And when the rich man opened his eyes, he just realized that, I'm having my Abrahamic conversations too late. Because he had to speak with Abraham. As a matter of fact, he said Lazarus. But when he saw Abraham, he said Father Abraham. You see, at that level, nobody needed to preach to him that this guy is a father. Suddenly, he repented. You can imagine, while having a conversation with Abraham, he said, Father, can you send some? He said, I still have five brothers. You see, and that's the beautiful thing about eternity. Everybody will repent. But it's just that people will repent too late. I mean, look at this guy who did not like his brothers before. Suddenly, he became the greatest lover on earth. He said, I don't want my brothers to perish. Can you send somebody from here to go and appear to them so that they don't come into this place? And Father Abraham spoke. And Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them. So Abraham was beginning to say that, look, there's already a framework undergirding the operations of God on the earth. And God is not going to do anything outside of that framework to get anybody saved. So don't think from here God is going to send somebody burning from hell so as to persuade people not to go to hell. He's not going to do that. But you can imagine that in the afterlife, that region was also named after Abraham. I give you another one before we get into this story. The woman with the spirit of infirmity. I mean, the Lord just came in. And he looked at the woman. And he said, woman, you are loosed. And I'm sure people are wondering, what is the basis? And the Lord said, Abrahamization is being compromised here. He said, this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, she's not supposed to be in this position. So the Lord did not need to preach so much. He just preached the fact that as a seed of Abraham, this condition is forbidden. And he looked at her and he said, woman, you are loosed. And that was it. How about Zacchaeus? Another case study. When you see the guy climbing the sycamore tree to be strategic so that the Lord will see him. And you could see by the time the Lord got there, the Lord said, come down. Today I'm going to be in your house. And you are wondering, what is the basis for this also? And suddenly the guy started repenting and said, half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I defrauded anyone in any way, I'm going to restore four times. And the Lord said, you know what? Salvation has come to this house. He also is a son of Abraham. Hallelujah. I can go on and on. That is even in the Gospels. See the Lord bringing Abraham to bear in the scheme of things. How about in the epistles to get into what we want to look at today? Romans chapter number 4. Let's read Romans chapter number 4, then we'll come back here. Because it's important we read Romans chapter number 4. Are you flowing with me this morning? Are you getting something? All right. Well, we all have different graces, and I'm just going to teach this morning and trust God. Look at verse number 16. Therefore, it is of faith, so that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only of those who have the law, but also of those who have faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Can I say something this morning? You are the modern day Abraham. Because the default status of everyone that is born again is that you are a seed of Abraham. And a seed is a sequence of growth programmed already to reproduce after his own kind. So your kind is Abraham. So even if you are not doing anything as a believer, your default status, your birthright, the way God sees you, the way you are rated. You see, all those transactions Apostle described this morning, that is your beginning point. You are capable of doing that. But it's just that most people don't know. Imagine, why would God, I mean, just like Apostle said also, Christ also had to come as a seed of Abraham. Look, if there was a superior way to come, Christ would have chosen any other seed. But why as a seed of Abraham? Why did he have to come as a seed of Abraham? And the Bible now looks at us and now says, you are a seed of Abraham. So that means this is the giveaway. Don't miss me here. Everything you are going through today, as we are talking now, is rooted, is cited, and is referenced in the story of Abraham. There is nothing happening to you today that is not yet Abrahamized. So all you just need to do today is to look at yourself and say, where am I in my Abrahamic story? Because it's that same story that is repeating itself, because you are a seed of Abraham. You know, when you look at human beings, we say something like, we all have a common human experience, you know. We can relate to many things, human experiences and whatever. So if the Bible says you are a seed of Abraham, so that means the Bible is trying to say that just look at your story in the light of the story of Abraham. You will find parallels. As a matter of fact, in Romans, he began to talk about those who walk in the step of the faith of Abraham. So that means at times you can look at the steps you are taking and you are like, where is this among the steps Abraham took? So whether you like it or not, Genesis 12 is already working for someone. I mean, look, in this conference now, the act of mercy for you is that God is already speaking to you too to say, you know what? Come out of your father's house. Out of your kindred, out of your country. Onto a land that I will show you. Just like Apostle said, you don't, in this economy of faith, you don't show God the land. It must be the land that God is showing you. Because what a lot of people are trying to do is that they've discovered a good land and they're trying to persuade God to show God that land. And God says, you are messing up the equation. Come on. It must be a land that I show you. Somebody there? So you are a seed of Abraham. Don't forget that. So all that life is asking you is that show us how much you are a seed of Abraham. And I'm going to look at two stories. But before we look at two stories, let's quickly go back to Genesis. An apostle touched on one of the stories. And that's why, as I sat there, I was like, oh God, don't let him preach everything. Because I was going to, my case studies were Genesis 14 and Genesis 18. And he just went to Genesis 18 and started saying all this stuff. And I'm like, oh God, why did I come at this session? I should have come in the afternoon. Praise God. But that shows that the Spirit of God is one. I mean, and that's the beautiful thing about the Holy Spirit. That's the beautiful thing about the Holy Spirit. Because we've not even talked since I arrived. So it's not that we've compared. And I'm like, what are you going to talk about? Oh, let's talk about Abraham. No, let's go back to Galatians 3. Oh, God. It's getting interesting now. Verse number 18. No, sorry. I mean, we were reading verse number 5. Okay. Now, let's get into... Right, just like Abraham believed God, that's 6. Therefore, only those who have faith are sons of Abraham. And look at verse number 8. And the scripture, foreseeing that God will justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, oh, in you, all the nations shall be blessed. You see, this is where people miss God. Oh, God. Why beg 2022? If God is going to have mercy on us, he must introduce us to Scripture. The Scripture. Give it to us on the screen, please. My face is not important. What is important is this. We must look into this. So the Scripture is intelligent. The Scripture is capable of foreseeing what God wants to do with you. And on the basis of that, the Scripture itself can preach to you a gospel. Did you see that? And the Scripture, so in 2022, the Scripture has foresight. As you are there now, the Scripture already foresees what should happen to you by June of this year. And in Wabek, Scripture must preach to you a gospel. The biggest preacher is Scripture. You want to see how to become a seed of Abraham? When you are not full acquainted with Scripture, you can't be on the faith lane. Because the Scripture must preach to you a gospel. And guess what? Oh, God. Many people come to conferences and go to meetings on the basis of the promise. The gospel is bigger than the promise. The reason why God gave you the promise is because there is a containing gospel. And without you situating the promise within the broader context of the gospel, you cannot mix the promise with faith. You only mix the gospel with faith. Give us that scripture again, please. It's important. Because we must break it down. We must understand this conceptually, theoretically, methodically, and empirically. Very important. And the scripture, without digressing too much, without going there, that would take us back to 2 Timothy 3:16. That all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. You want to walk in a dimension of God that is real in 2022, you need to be inspired by God. So Paul did not say scripture is inspiration of God. He said scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And whenever you line up with scripture, look at it, all scripture is given. So that means there's something that is producing scripture. There's something that is giving us scripture. And that thing is called what? The inspiration of God. And when you get to this level like Abraham, automatically, by the time we write down your life story is profitable for doctrine. That is why only very few names made it to the scripture. Because God is looking for people that by the time we tell their stories, without people reading the Bible, what they are reading is scripture. Oh, you are not getting me. That in 2022, we look at your life and everything about your life, about your ministry, about business is speaking scripture. Now, even if people don't know God and they know you, they have come in contact with scripture. You know, today, look at us on this side now. We are reading Abraham. We're just reading the life of Abraham and his scripture. he has gotten to that great, to that height, that everything about his life is scripturally justified, scripturally defined, scripturally engaged. That there's no aspect of his life that by the time you put it side by side with scripture, it's not speaking scripture. So give us that scripture again. Galatians, in Galatians, very important. So if you look at the story of Abraham, it's profitable for doctrine. We can get doctrine from it. It's profitable for correction. Look at the aspect the apostle touched this morning. He talked to us about correction. It's profitable for reproof. It's profitable for instructions in righteousness. See, those are the four areas you must cover this year. That when people look at you, they are corrected. Because your life, your story is profitable for correction. That when people read your story or listen to you, they just make all the necessary adjustments because there is something about you that is bringing profit to them because you are manifesting scripture. Look at it again. No. Let's go back. And the scripture foreseeing that, oh God, you see where the gospel is different from the promise here. Pastor Sunday. Now listen to this. No, give us that scripture, please. Just stay with the scripture, please. My face is not important. And the scripture foreseen. You know, it is common at the beginning of the year for the church to declare the theme for the year. You cannot find the true theme for your life without looking at scripture. And if you look at scripture defining the theme for Abraham's life, it was beyond Abraham's wildest imagination. Look at what scripturally or scripture crafted as the overarching theme of the life of Abraham. God was looking at Abraham and God is saying scripturally it's not about Isaac. There is a program I'm initiating. It is called, I want to justify the Gentiles by faith. Oh, that is a big program. So scripture preached that gospel to Abraham that God will justify the Gentiles by faith. So it's within that context you must bat Isaac. But see, the problem is this. A lot of people begin their faith walk on the note of believing God for Isaac without fully understanding what the overarching aim and objective of scripture is for the year 2022. It cannot just be that promise. So that means God is saying, I want to begin a program that every Gentile will be justified by faith. And I'm starting with you, Abraham, as the first Gentile to be justified. Because this program is going to be, look at how he put it again. He said that God will justify the Gentiles by faith. So that means God is saying, I'm starting a new program on the earth. Because when God is showing mercy, mercy is a function of revelation. He will reveal certain things to you. You remember Daniel. Daniel and his companion had to desire mercies from the God of heaven so that the things will be revealed to them. So when God is granting mercy, what he does is to give you revelations. So that you will not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. So look at this. Justify the Gentiles by faith. And don't miss me here, please. I really care about what you are believing God for in 2022. But it is also important for you to find out the gospel that the scripture is preaching to you about 2022. It's bigger than that thing you are believing God for. And until you find it, you cannot situate that thing you are believing God for. It must be situated within the broader context of a gospel. So therefore, look at Abraham now. Look at pretty much Abraham before and saying, in you, all the nations shall be blessed. Oh God. Pastor Sunday, do you see why the promise is always smaller than the gospel? A promise was made unto Abraham that he will have a son. The gospel was preached unto Abraham to father nations.
So the gospel is always bigger than the promise. And without the gospel, the promise is null and void. So if I were you, the first thing to understand should be the gospel. And look at the intelligence of God. Here was a man who was believing God for his son. But in Romans 4, God said, as it is written. Now look at the gospel. I have made you a father of many nations. The gospel will tell you in 2022 what God has made you. The promise will leave you in a position believing God to do something. Meanwhile, the gospel will tell you what God has done. So that means the gospel will reveal to you what God has done in order for you to have the promise. So for Abraham, what was the gospel? I have made you a father of many nations. So God is saying, you see, that there's a bigger program here, Abraham, bigger than Isaac. See, look at all these nations. They are fatherless. I need somebody to father them for me. Which was why God could not have destroyed Sodom without talking to the father. How do you know you found it? The day the promise is not bothering you again because you have found the gospel. That is the day of your breakthrough. Did you notice that the moment Abraham started playing the role of the father of many nations, he wasn't really bothered about Isaac again. Because you see, at that level, Isaac is sorted. It was before he started playing the father of many nations, Abraham was oscillating. That God had to say, you know what? I'm the Almighty God. Walk before me now. You have to be perfect. And God had to, I mean, the guy even lied. The guy went to Egypt. But from Genesis 14 onwards, have you noticed that his life took another turn? The moment he started responding to the gospel. And look at Genesis 14. Okay, we just have about less than 30 minutes more. Now, let's look at this now. We look at those two case studies and we'll close. So that means that every season of our lives, as we are here this morning, write it down. What is the theme of God? We just found out the one for Abraham. I want to justify the Gentiles by faith. So therefore, you have to become the father of many nations. So that the waiting period of faith is not that I'm waiting. I'm waiting. It's a period of capacity building. As the father of faith, you will become a warrior. You will become a giver. You will become a friend of God. I mean, look at all that Abraham became. That is what you should become because you are a seed of Abraham while waiting. So waiting is capacity building. So you see Abraham waiting. Became God's confidant. Waiting, he became a warrior. Waiting, he became a worshiper. He was the first person in the entire Bible to worship. Because he now understood the purpose of Isaac. Because eventually, what you call a promise in this context is a sacrifice in another context. And until you understand the purpose of Isaac, did they call calls for Moriah? You will be scared. So what are you excited about that God has given you one dimension? It's just a seed for another dimension. But just like Apostle said, until you build capacity, it will be difficult. Because Abraham would have been like, this son that I waited for 25 years, I should just go and sacrifice him like that. But the guy already became something bigger than the father of Isaac. He was now the father of nations. Because only the father of nations can father Isaac. You see why God is keeping the promise away from you somewhat. You have not become something bigger than that promise. You are believing God for one Isaac, and God is saying nations, father nations. That means the day you find it, you start fathering something apart from what you are believing God for. And the truth is that what you are fathering is also to secure Isaac. Because if you don't become the father of nations before you father Isaac, you won't be able to train Isaac. You won't be able to take Isaac to Moriah. You won't be able to unlock a dimension in God that is called Jehovah Jireh. I know we sing it. Jehovah Jireh is the name of God. No, go and read that place. The Bible did not say Abraham called the name of God Jehovah Jireh. The Bible says Abraham called the name of the place. So Jehovah Jireh is a place in God. It's a place where you unlock the provisions of God because of your obedience. Hallelujah. Look at Galatians 3:13. Then we look at these two case studies. Wow, time. Yeah, it's still fine. We can just spend 10 minutes and look at. Apostle already dealt with the second case extensively, so I'll just focus more on the first case. But look at Galatians 3:13. Christ has removed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it's written, curse is everyone that hangs on a tree, that the blessing. Did you just read in Romans 4 now? He said, only those who are of faith are blessed with a believing Abraham. That the blessing of Abraham might do what? That we might also what? Remember where we started from, integrating the supply of the Spirit and the hearing of faith. Are you seeing those two factors here? So when the Bible says the believer is blessed with a believing Abraham, you are blessed with two factors. The promise of the Spirit on the faith lane, by faith. Did you see that? Because we have two camps in the church today. Some people are on the faith side, and some people are on the Spirit side. Both of them are wrong. You need both. And the Bible did not say the blessings of Abraham. The Bible said the blessing is just one. That was why when Abraham passed it on to Isaac, he could not give it to Ishmael. When Isaac passed it on to Jacob, Esau was crying. He said, bless me also. And he said, I can't. And you think he was a wicked father. These people understood scripture. But guess what? What Esau missed, what Ishmael missed, is now given to you and I in Christ Jesus. The blessing of Abraham. So it's either you have it or you don't have it. Because it's just one blessing. You can imagine if you were there that day when Abraham was distributing his goods. You would think the guy did not know what he was doing. He called the sons of slaves, the sons of concubine. He gave them the land in Lekki, gave them the Rolls Royce, gave them the building. And he now looked at Isaac. And the Bible says Abraham gave all unto Isaac. What is all? So all is not material. After giving out all the material blessing, he now looked at Isaac. He said, Isaac, you have all. What is all? The ministry of the Spirit on the faith lane. That is all. You can imagine as rich as Isaac was. When Jacob was leaving home, he could not even rent an hotel. He had to sleep outside. You begin to wonder that. Is it that these guys are wicked? How come they did not transfer material blessings? I mean, as rich as Isaac was, Jacob left home broke. But he left home with something. Because the first night, as he put the stone for the pillow, he did not know that Abraham was operated in that zone. God showed up and God said, I am the God of Abraham. So when Apostle was praying about remember me, God doesn't forget. And for somebody there, this Wabek is your remembrance convocation. The blessing of Abraham. Look at your neighbor, say, I'm blessed. The blessing of Abraham. So let's look at two case studies, like I said, also quickly, where Abraham actually manifested as the father of nations. Genesis 14. So I'll dwell on Genesis 14. Just touch a bit on Genesis 18. Thankfully, Apostle already did justice to that. Now, look at Genesis 14. These kings were fighting. It began with warfare, if you look at it.
Genesis 14. Warfare. All sorts. Please. What I'm about to say now is the delivery of the gospel of 2022 to someone. Please don't miss me here. Very important. What has Abraham got to do with this king's fighting? Because your role as the father of many nations is critical. And just like Apostle said, how can we have a nation like Nigeria, with the number of Christians that we have, and yet, from Genesis 12, nation building is already part and parcel of Abraham's blessing. God did not say, Abraham, your nation will become great. He said, I will make you a great nation. That what your nation is going to become, you will become first. So it is when we have aggregates of great nations within a nation, that nation will become great. Because what many of us are waiting for is that one day we'll just wake up and Nigeria will be great. God said, I don't operate that way. He said, you, Abraham, I'm going to make you a great nation. When I make you a great nation, you can imagine a million believers in Nigeria becoming a great nation. The nation will not have a choice but to be great. So this is how to get involved. Please give us 14, because this is important. All these kings were fighting, just like what is going on, and people are saying, what is going on? Pandemic. I mean, so much warfare. Warfare by all that means. Economic wars. Spiritual wars. Now in 2022, hear the word of the Lord. God told Abraham, get involved. This is what is called the supply of the Spirit. That means there is nothing the Holy Spirit will supply that it won't take faith for you to activate it. One of the ways you know it's the Holy Spirit that is talking to you is that demands are going to be placed on you. That the only way to respond is by faith. Because at what point did Abraham become a military general? Father of many nations. This guy was a farmer. He was into cattle, silver and gold and all those things. That means at some point God told Abraham, if you want to be relevant in the next scheme of things or the new scheme of things, acquire military training. Because you can't give what you don't have. If Abraham himself did not acquire military training, how can he train 318 others? So the word of the Lord to us this year is that what training do you need to acquire for the next level? Oh, somebody did not hear me. That will mean this year, God is going to ask some people to change career paths. You think you're a farmer? God said, get into warfare. So that means at some point, Abraham had to learn how to fight. Learned so much how to fight that one day, oh God, Pastor Sunday, I don't know why I kept on using Pastor Sunday. Here was a man. He had to have one son. And he was already training 318 sons of other people. That is what it means to father. Look, no son of his own, and yet he's investing in 318 sons. And they kept on training. Oh my, you see, this year, your laptop, all those files, all those write-ups, bring them out again. Because opportunities are coming. So this year is one year that things are going to run so fast, there won't be a time to prepare. Because Abraham learned to prepare for war in the time of peace. So
So they wake up in the morning. Abraham will say, this is how to throw the arrow. Can you imagine Abraham? He said, no, you didn't get it right. The javelin, hold it this way. I mean, what was just coming to my mind is the movie 300. You can imagine Abraham. How did he look? Where you are going to play this year? It will surprise you. And you look back and you ask yourself, how did I get here? But the name of the operation is training. So God is saying, listen very well in what 2022. I'm going to begin to tell you the kind of training, the kind of capacity, the kind of things you should get into. Please don't let it surprise you when God begins to tell some of us to drop what you're doing and move into something else. Including pastors. Including businessmen. And when God asks you to go into training, please master it. Because Abraham, I mean, for you to train 318 people to win a war. Pastor Sunday, 5 kings Abraham defeated. These guys, they've been fighting all their lives. Suddenly, in your corner, you were training people, and you trained them to such an extent that you brought them out, and they were able to defeat people people that have been fighting all their lives. Abraham must have taken that training to another level. And guess what? How did he get involved? The Bible says somebody came. Look, let's just read that verse. One who had escaped. If I can clear everything, don't worry. By the time I come for my next session, if the Spirit permits, we will start looking into some of those things again. Look at it. Verse 13. One who had escaped came and told Abraham the Hebrew, for he dwelt by the terebinth trees of Mamre the Amorite, the brother of... Oh, did you see that place? Abraham was in alliance with people. Get ready this year for new people God is going to bring into your space. And guess what? Some of them will not even be Christians. But just like Apostle said, you can't come in close, because eventually, if you read the story of Abraham, it was by these terebinth trees of Mamre God appeared unto him in Genesis 18. So this Mamre guy hosted Abraham and now became a factor that facilitated the appearance of God in Genesis 18. Now Mamre was just in strategic alliance with Abraham. But before you know, Abraham said, I'm comfortable with Mamre. And before you know it, God had to appear by the terebinth trees of Mamre. Look at your neighbor and say, who are your friends in 2022? And what are you getting into in 2022? So how do you analyze the news? That's another strategy God must give us. Because the moment it was breaking news on CNN, somebody came and told Abraham. Abraham said, it's time to move. And look at the next verse. Abraham. He divided. Look at this guy. Forces. How did he get to this level? By night. So Abraham understood strategy. Abraham. So you think faith is just about speaking in tongues? This is the father of faith. This is somebody who fathered the message, showing us possibilities and dimensions in this message. That even in physical warfare, this message is relevant. Servant attacked. Abraham knew the best time to attack was night. So that means he must have trained his guys on night warfare. So they've been doing training. They've been doing drills on how to attack at night. So this year is a year you can't afford to be sleeping too much at night. So you see your father saying that there are some things you can only do at night. As bold as Gideon was, he could not put down the altar of Baal, but at night. So there are some operations you need to do at night. So by the time people wake up in the morning, it's already done. give it to us again, please. Look at it. Attack them. Pursue them. As far as Oba, which is the north of Damascus. Move on. He brought back all the goods. Abraham. Restoration. Brought back his brother Lot. Brought back the women and all the people. Listen, as we're closing, oh my, I won't be able to get to 18, but it's fine. Apostle already did that. You see, God knew it was going to go like this. And that's why I brought my brother to just do justice to that. Why did Abraham do all this? He did all this because of the fact that he was the father of many nations. But he also did it because of Lot. There's a lot to talk about Lot. Because in this 2022, God will compel you to walk by love. You are going to mobilize an entire army for someone. Let me use Nigerian English. Who doesn't send you? Oh, you are not getting me. Lot walked out on Abraham the first time. Even after this battle, when Abraham put his life on line for Lot, Lot never thanked him. He didn't come back to say, thank you, sir. So if you are waiting for people to thank you, you will wait forever. On the faith lane, we are not doing things so that people can thank us. Lot is just a beneficiary of something bigger than Lot. So when you are executing your assignment as the father of many nations, look beyond Lot. Because Lot is not going to thank you. Lot is not going to appreciate you. Because he's a righteous man whose righteous soul is already vexed. Well, you know the most important thing about this story, Pastor Sunday, Apostle, Pastor Toyin, to show how serious this transaction is, Melchizedek showed up. Oh, look, it is not strategy or your knowledge or wit and invention that's going to produce mercy or the breakthrough in 2022. It is your work of love. Because faith works by love. So God is going to compel you to do certain things, take certain steps to love people who will not love you in return. But for that transaction, you won't provoke appearances of eminent personalities like Melchizedek. Melchizedek all his life, without father, without mother, without beginning of days or ending of life, was waiting for one man to hand over the baton to. And it's like, we can't just hand it over. The man must show capacity. The moment Abraham played the role of the father of many nations, then we now got to know that in the realm of the spirit, there are supplies. Because how do you explain Melchizedek? Come on, somebody try. Explain Melchizedek to me. Oh, Sunday. Pastor Bayode is there. Pastor Bayode is a fantastic teacher. How can the Bible tell us somebody's without father, without mother, without beginning of days? So that means Melchizedek belonged to another era. Melchizedek is one of those proofs that show us that before God created Adam, there were operations already on the earth. Because people think God started with Abraham. You must be joking. God started our own race with Abraham. But before Abraham, God was already operating on the earth. Because when Lucifer fell in Isaiah 14, he said, how had thou fallen, Lucifer, son of the morning, that you weakened the nations? So what nations? And even in Revelation, he said, rejoice the heavens. He said, but hearts. So by the time Lucifer was falling, there were things going on the earth. So between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2, it's a long period. But let's forget about that, because there's also another scripture that speaks to the emergence of Melchizedek. He said, in Judah, God is known. He said, but his tabernacle is in Salem. And this guy was the king of Salem. It was the guy that manifested the kind of anointing that must be given to anyone who operates on the faith lane. That means on the faith lane, capacity is granted to be a king and a priest at the same time. And it must be handed over to Abraham. Because when it comes to the king's side of things, many of us are doing fine. But you are very weak when it comes to the priesthood side of things, the priest side of things. But on the other side, some of us can pray, we can fast when it comes to priesthood. But you are a very weak king. So God now told Abraham that the next level will demand a persona who can be a king and a priest at the same time. Physically, he's the king of Salem. Spiritually, he's the priest of the Hell Elyon. He's the priest of the Most High God. That means his priesthood has connected a dimension that there is nothing higher than. And God said, Abraham, it's time to meet that guy. So Abraham now knew, Lot, Isaac, and all those things were just invitations into a higher dimension. And the moment the guy saw Abraham, he looked at Abraham. He said, blessed be Abraham of God Most High. So Abraham, from today, you are the possessor of heaven and earth. And he said, even though you prepare for that warfare, but let me give you a higher truth. He said, blessed be the Most High God who delivered your enemies into your hand. Strategy is good. That means on the faith lane, God cannot deliver enemies into your hand for which you are not trained and equipped to do. And he said, Abraham, at this level, what I want to introduce you to is what is called the power of an endless life. I will continue in my next session. Thank you very much. God bless you. My time is up. Can we rise in the last 1 minute and just lift up our hand and just pray in the spirit? Can we just do that? I just felt led we should do that. Just 1 minute in the spirit. Just to soak in what Apostle Aaron Messiah is teaching and what came in this second teaching. Oh, blessed be God. La Kraba Zidaba. Is somebody praying this morning? It's called the power of an endless life. Power of an endless life. It doesn't end anywhere. It's endless. It's endless. Oh, makobo bosko praga doma sidaba. Jabredebo. Ebekesko praga dina na sidabo. Ayabasko praga doba rede masidebo. Yabaka sidaba. Come on, we can pray more. Power of an endless life. Yababasko praga dina mamasko predidi. Ayakasko breke de mamasko brebo sidebo. Yabakasko breke dina maskodobo. Mamasko breke dina mamasidebo. Yab raba zida baba kedebo. Ayaba raka dina mamo. I'm a seed of Abraham. Begin to say this morning, I'm a seed of Abraham. I'm a seed of Abraham. I'm Abrahamizing things. There is Abrahamization of things going on around me. Everything has been Abrahamized for my advantage this year. I win all the warfare because I'm a seed of Abraham. I'm a seed of Abraham. Blessed be God. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Thank you. This is one message preached by two preachers. This is the evidence.